He's a little bit of old school for you. That goes a little something like this. I was running to the flyest kid on the block. Yeah, poppy's the one with the rise and stop. So that's when I had this bright idea. Throw a party of the month, then party of the year. All the fine girls couldn't turn it down. Now all gotta do is get my parents out. Should I send them to a movie? Send them to a show. Let me think. It's gotta be long though.
All right, that's enough. Aaron Carter, dead. Age 34. Hello, everybody. This is another Tail Goats episode podcast. My name is Will Finn, joined by my brother, Andy Finn, virtually. How are you doing this evening?
My ears hurt from having to listen to Aaron Carter.
What's your finest?
It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad when we previewed it, but for some reason, when you played it live, it was really stinging my ears.
What's your favorite Aaron Carter memory?
Jeez, I can't say I really have one.
When he beat Shaq?
No.
That didn't happen.
Probably when he stopped singing music, like making music. That's probably my favorite memory.
Better face tattoos, him or Mike Tyson?
Mike Tyson, easily.
Him or Lil Wayne?
Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne had some solid ones.
Him? I'm just kidding. I'm done asking about face tats. Oh, what a solid start to this podcast. Kind of an interesting time period in Cleveland sports right now, and sports in general, because right now, as sports fans, we got a lot going on. Last time we recorded, Cleveland Guardians were in the ALDS against the Yankees, fresh off the win against the Rays, and we saw that went down. A lot to be excited about in the future. There's nothing to be said really poorly about the team right now. Antonetti, Executive of the Year, 4 Gold Gloves off the top of my head, Shane Bieber, Stephen Kwan, Miles Straw, and Jimenez, right?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Four there. Kind of sad not to see Jose Ramirez in the MVP discussion, but we all know who's going to win that award this year. And Aaron Judge, one of the greatest single seasons ever offensively. When you go back and look at it, I try to remove my Yankee hate, and he's going to beat Shohei Ohtani. You can make the argument for Ohtani as well. The Angels are just a desolate franchise. You know, that they have two of the best players in baseball, Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani, and they can't put anything together. I mean, which team would you rather have right now, the bones of it? Do you rather have a team like the Guardians, or you rather have two MVP candidates? It's tough.
I think that's been the thorn in the side, though, for the Angels. They spend money knowing, you know, international player like Ohtani being that close to overseas, you're going to get that merch money. You're going to get people that buy in on, you know, you're going to get the TV money as well. But what's it really do to you? You got to keep Mike Trout there, but you're investing so much in two players and, you know.
Well, the answer is, Andy, what has Mike Trout done for the Angels besides give it all? I mean, you got to win games.
You do. I feel, you know, it costs, I feel they're getting close.
I'm sorry to cut you off. It cost Madden his job.
Yeah.
I really don't want to add anything else on MLB. We have a lot of topics tonight, and I don't want to make this an hour-long episode. Like we say, it's going to be short, it's going to be long. I don't want to do that. The Houston Astros were one of the best teams in baseball this year. I'm happy that, you know, they got that champion. Dusty Baker finally getting the championship is so dope. I met Dusty when he was with the Cubs, I believe, and he had the box of toothpicks. And how the one thing about Dusty that's so impressive is he literally, I don't know if it's the nervous habit or what, but he can flip that toothpick around in his mouth, like 360 direction. And it just, I get so cringe thinking about it, but it's impressive. But Andy, the viral video this week, Dusty Baker, the pop-up play going to foul territory to end the World Series, and the guy has his pen in his hand. He's writing on his lineup card. Like, is that not raw baseball managing as it comes?
It's just, it's habit. You know, you're used to it, but, you know, I'm sure he celebrated pretty well after that.
He did.
You know, great for him. Me personally, I would have liked to see the Phillies win.
The
I know everyone likes to hate on the city, but, you know, they were the hot team. It's similar to what the Indians were in 2016. They were just that very hot team that clicked at the right time.
And ran out of gas a little early there.
Yeah, I mean, home runs are only going to take you so far. You got to produce a lot of runs, you know. And that's just what Houston was able to do. And, you know, Verlander coming, finally getting his first win in the World Series.
Right.
So, you know, good for Houston. At least it was an entertaining playoffs. I think from time to time you can tend to get a boring series. But, you know, Philly pulling off the upsets, I'd say, along the way. You know, the Guardians and Yankees going five games. I think everyone kind of knew the Astros were going to come out of the American League.
Right.
But the National League definitely gave us some good series. So, as always, an entertaining, you know, October for baseball. And, you know, I think the Dodgers are the favorites going into next year already.
Right. How about, can I admit my biggest flub of the season? Before the season, we talked during my high stakes fantasy baseball draft. I'm like, hey, I heard a lot about this Jeremy Pena guy. Should I draft him? I'm like, yeah, I don't know enough. World Series MVP.
Mm-hmm.
Nice job, Will.
But there's been some World Series MVPs, like Melky Cabrera.
Right.
Like, that's a World Series MVP.
You gotta have 10 good days of baseball. And that's it. I'm marking off MLB. We're 7.5 minutes in. Let's talk briefly Cavs. Absolutely scorching hot start that probably the only people that truly believed that could do this are the gentlemen in that locker room led by JB Bickerstaff. This guy right now, anything he says goes. The halftime speeches, the junkyard dog chain after wins. LeBron said it best this week. They have a bunch of guys, young guys, that care so much about basketball and don't care too much about the social media stuff. And they have the grandpa with the veteran leadership. Everybody knew who he was alluding to. Always that core group of guys from the championship team know how to poke fun at each other through the media. There's no other core group of guys that have broken up in the NBA that poke fun at each other like them two, and in the media, Channing Frye and Richard Jefferson just goes back to how special of a team that was. I know you can't really say anything to which way about the team, but what's the perception in the building like, Andy? And you know, you have experienced, you know, LeBron. The second trip to it was Quicken Loans at the time. You experienced the second roundabout with LeBron, and now you're experiencing the stadium every night that there's a home game, what the atmosphere is like. Can you talk a little bit about the differences or what you're seeing?
I think it's just there's a couple things I want to touch on. The first is that Boston game.
And that was early. Were we 3-1 or something at the time? I'll look that up. Go ahead. Go ahead.
We go to Boston on the road, and we came out, you know, we came out hot. We went up big and let them back into the game, but really grinded it out. And what they're doing
is that an Eric Wedge reference in basketball?
Yes. They're finishing games. And I think that's what's been missing in the past is, you know, they're tied or they're up a couple, they're down a couple, and it's just those games got away last year. They got away from us, especially at the end of the season. Now, you know, you look at the Orlando game, it was close, and they ended up winning by double digits in the last couple of minutes of the game.
Well, it
Boston on the road. They finish it out in overtime. They grind that one out. And I think that was just the kind of, all right, we're on the road without Garland. What's this team really made of? And it
Right.
showed with LeVert stepping up and scoring 41, Mitchell having 41. But we got to answer pretty quick to one of the questions I had going into the season is what happens when someone gets hurt?
Right.
And unfortunately, Garland goes down and we go on a win streak. You know, we lose game one, then win eight in a row, you know, a handful of those games with him. But it shows this team is carried by Donovan Mitchell and the others are going to step up and everyone kind of knows their role and they're so deep, especially when it comes to the bench that. You know, it's scary what this team can do. The chemistry's there. I know they're kind of getting used to now with Garland back in the lineup. I guess I didn't watch the end of the game last night.
Yeah, I'm gonna touch on that in just a second.
But from what I heard, there was a little bit of Garland needed to give the ball up. Maybe you know, let Mitchell didn't score for, I think the last 8 minutes.
At 8-1, Andy, it's truly the first time that the youth showed, and the panic button was a little bit on the Los Angeles Clippers. Scored 13 points. They rallied back from 13 points with five minutes left, and that's just unacceptable in the league right now. The Clippers at 6-5. That's their biggest win on the year. Paul George said it best. This is a great team boosting win against a really good Cleveland team. Bad shot selection at the end, kind of forced threes. Not the way we've been playing basketball. On the flip side of things, two quotes. Donovan Mitchell said, "This is the biggest thing is we'll learn from this, and this is 10 games in, and these guys are still young. The biggest thing is we'll learn from this. They did a lot of things that we'll see come playoff time. It was a test. It's nothing to overreact to. We're not in the locker room freaking out. It's going to be a lesson. And we're going to get better." And JB said, "This is a test of, well, how do you bounce back from something like this? Is the experience that you need through all the hype? We're a team that's still building. Yada yada yada. Keeps going. I hate losing." To them, win streaks do have to come to an end, but I know they're 8-2. They're 4-0 at home. This young team's 4-2 on the road. And looking ahead here, I had the schedule out in front because I know they're on a road trip, which is giving you a little bit of a pause from
Yeah, and
the
for the Kings,
right. Friday night, I believe, is the King. Or I'm sorry.
Warriors.
I'm sorry, Andy. Kings tomorrow night, Wednesday night. Wednesday night. I'm sorry when you're listening, guys. Wednesday night, Jesus. Kings, 10 o'clock. Friday, Warriors, 10 o'clock. And then, Andy, you got to go back to work. Sunday, Minnesota Timberwolves, another fun team. They're one of my favorite teams in the West. And then, Andy, you're talking four games in a week's time starting Wednesday. Another big test going out west, the Golden State, but next Wednesday, circle that one, 8 o'clock against Milwaukee.
Yeah,
So
definitely looking forward to that game, but you don't want to get too far ahead. Don't look past Sacramento. I
don't.
think this is a good game to kind of get back into the swing of things. And then, you know, you're playing a Friday night game. It's going to be a fun one at Golden State. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Oh, and look. Cavs came out hot last year, one of the best teams in the East through the All-Star break. Injuries and maybe experience and youth took a bit of a toll. It's just not the same story. Enjoy the run right now. The Cavs have been so much fun to watch. And as a Cleveland sports fan, through some of the doom and gloom of what's going on with the Browns, it's very, very fitting that, hey, you know, if the Browns aren't doing well, at least the Cavs are. Browns, let's segue. Browns at 3-5 in the AFC North. That's good for third place. They're only ahead of the Steelers. The Browns are 2-1 in the division. Ahead of us, the Baltimore Ravens, Andy, are really starting to put it together at 6-3. They're 2-0 in the division. And the Bengals are 5-4, and they are 0-3 in the division. Andy, is it? I know you don't like doing this before the season. We are just getting by the bye weekend. It's time to play the schedule game at 3-5. And I know you don't like doing it before the season. Is it fair to finally play it now?
I don't think there's a point. I don't think you're playing for a playoff position at this point. We're going to go to Miami. I think we're going to get routed, and then we're going to go to Buffalo. We're going to get routed, and we're going to be sitting at 3-7. And at that point, what's, you know, you got to win every game. You have to win out the rest of the season.
Right. What I'm hearing on the radio in the morning is that there's been these many seasons that the Browns have played, and everybody said the first 4 weeks were the easiest part of the schedule. You go back and look at it now. Obviously, the Jets are a lot better than what we thought they were, and we lost them in a 61-point game, 31-30. And, you know, the Falcons aren't as bad as what everybody thought they were. We started the season 1-3. They said that was the first little mini season. And then through the Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, you really had to go 2-2. And they didn't. They went 1-3 again. So, I'm sorry. First 4 weeks, of the season, they went 2-2, and then 1-3. I had that backwards. Yeah. But now you're in this part where they're calling it this 3-game skid. Without Deshaun Watson, you get Watson back week 13 at Miami, at Buffalo, home versus Tampa Bay. Andy, you said we're going to go to Miami and get routed. The potential for it to be a wet game. I'm going. It's going to be my first time at Hard Rock Stadium. Andy, you've tailgated there for the Hurricanes game, but what, I mean, I'm going to be looking for, I guess there's a Fort Lauderdale Browns backers tailgate that I'm looking forward to, and I'm going to go check it out. Anything else? I mean, the stadium's not really in Miami. It's in Miami, but kind of outskirts, right?
Yeah, it's a gorgeous stadium. Wide open concourses, plenty of room to navigate around. A lot of stuff concession-wise around. I don't think
you need to stop sounding like you know so much about stadiums and the concourses and everything.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
The operation side of me.
Go ahead.
That's what I appreciate, though. I, you know, there was so much room to walk. You're not shoulder to shoulder, especially when it comes post game. It is hot. It's humid down there, but it's Miami. It's, you know, it's a beautiful stadium. They did really good. They dumped a lot of good money into it. So enjoy your time down there. I know you'll appreciate the stadium. It's
what's the grade?
A great place for football. You know what? When it rains, you're actually covered.
Right.
Only the field is covered. So I was actually there for the Hurricanes game, and I was like, man, I wish I was in the rain because it feels really good about now. And this was probably about the time you're going down.
Nice.
Now, it was mid-November.
What would you grade the stadium versus, I mean, I've said it for a long time, our stadium, you know, opened in 99, but it just feels like an absolute dump when I see some of the videos of other stadiums and how much these stadiums have progressed in 20 years. I mean, it looks like an A-plus stadium.
I mean, if you're comparing Hard Rock to our stadium, it's A-plus to F. It's not even close.
So let's just be optimistic here, Andy. In this year, the NFL, obviously, things have been very backwards for a lot of teams. Namely, one of the other bigger disappointments in football, the Green Bay Packers. There was a lot to be excited coming off of the Monday night Halloween win against the Bengals. You have the bye week to get healthy. If they can roll any sort of momentum into Miami and give us any sort of chance. I'm looking at it right now. We're only 3.5-point dogs. Let's just play pretend you win, okay? There's no update on Josh Allen as of the time of this recording. potential UCL injury. Everybody in the baseball world hears UCL and they think that's Tommy John surgery. But no news is likely good news for Josh Allen right now, because if it was a serious UCL injury, we would have known today. Let's play pretend you win in Miami, you lose in Buffalo. Week 12, November 27th, if you somehow beat the Buccaneers, which they've been a Jekyll and Hyde team the whole year. Their defense is still good. Offense is erratic at times. You're now looking at a team, Andy, that's 5-6 going into a very winnable end of the schedule. The Texans stink. The Texans stink, Andy. For whatever reason.
You can't play pretend with this team. Be a realist with this team, because we know now, and I've said this weeks ago, I think the last time we recorded, you know the real Jacoby Brissett. You know the real aspects of this team. It's nothing impressive. They're subpar. The Bengals have proven that they ain't that good. They're still on that Super Bowl hangover. And then you're a missed field goal away from losing to the Panthers, who didn't have a first down in the first half last week against the Bengals.
Okay, fine. Let me present it to you a different way. Let me present it to you a different way. Let's play pretend here we lose all three games, okay? I'm presenting it to you a different way. They're 3-8. Are you telling me it's more likely that they run the table between weeks 13 to 18, which includes at Texans, at Bengals, Ravens, Saints, at Washington Commanders, at Steelers? I mean, I'm telling you that if Watson clicks at all, those are all very, very winnable games. Those are all very winnable games, with the toughest test probably being at home against the Ravens. For a reason, I can't figure it out. We've owned the Bengals. Absolutely owned the Bengals.
So you're expecting a guy that hasn't seen live football in how long?
Not expecting it, Andy. I'm not expecting it, Andy. I'm saying what's more likely. We win one of these three games against the Dolphins, Bills, or Buccaneers, or we run the table versus the Texans, Bengals, Ravens, Saints, Commanders, Steelers.
No, we'll lose two of those games in that last group that you just said.
So that means that you think that we're going to end the year at least 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We'll end the year 4-2. So right now,
I think we end the year under 6 wins, 6 or under.
So that would mean,
or 6-11.
You said we're going to lose two of the last, so that would put us at. If you said we're going to win four of those, that would put us at 7. So you think we're going to go 7?
I didn't say we were going to win four.
You said we're going to lose two of the last four.
Yeah, so that'd give us 2 wins.
I guess let's revisit this, Andy. Let's see how they show up on the road against Miami. Maybe your attitude changes. Maybe.
I mean, I'll still watch and still hope for wins, but.
All right. What are you drinking tonight, Andy?
Just a small Captain and Coke for tonight.
I've got this thing called Press, and it's another seltzer. 4% pomegranate ginger. I don't know. It has no other notes on it. Looks like it's out of Milwaukee. But big shout out to Eric Kegley, longtime fan of the live show and the podcast. He sent us some beer from North Carolina, which we will review when we have everybody in studio. Guys, give us some feedback here. I think that what we need to really be doing towards the end of the football season is maybe during these Thursday night games going live for maybe an hour or something like that, or even during Maction, or maybe just something once, you know, every couple weeks, if we can get in studio and watch something live, and we'll take calls and comments and everything else just to get engagement up a little high. We've been very, 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 very busy the last couple weeks. I mean, I force fed that episode, and thank you to whoever listened to it, because not many of you did. But I appreciate everybody that did, because that episode was really, really force fed. All right, so we got through MLB, Browns, Cavs.
Are we done doing primetime picks? I want to talk Thursday Night Football.
I have primetime picks here. I'm going to put a line through it. Now, I want to talk briefly about, you know, people saying cancel primetime picks. I absolutely 100% disagree. Any content that we put out is better than no content at all. The primetime picks are going to continue. If you feel that, and I'm looking at you, Brian Nagel, if you feel that our picks are so bad, feel free to join the Discord. If you need help, join the Discord. Message us on Instagram at Tailgoats. I'll help you get you linked up to the Discord, because allegedly the link expires. I didn't know this, Andy, so we're going to have to redo the link. I did not know this. Eric Kegley, once again, thank you for that. I have not posted our record for primetime picks because, unlike last year, it is very bad. Now, with that being said, if you think our picks are so bad, follow the podcast, listen to our picks, and pick the opposite. I mean, Andy, isn't there fun in making fun of people that their picks are so bad? I mean, Book It With Trent has made a career out of giving out bad picks. Andy, I mean, is he one of the most famous cappers on every social media outlet right now? And his picks are usually terrible.
Yeah, he puts out Hail Marys. He puts out some bad picks, but it is what it is. I mean, most of the time you just go ask me who I pick and you take the opposite. And
that was my fall on the Titans. Know. I went with the hot hand, Kurt. Andy's alluding to the Chiefs game, which I think was somewhere between -13.5 and 14. Of course, the Titans. That was a physical game. That was a really physical game, and the Chiefs didn't like losing to them last year. And, you know, I probably should have given that non-statistical portion of that a little bit more thought, especially with almost a 2-touchdown.
We learned that Thursday night when we took the Eagles by a ton of points. And when it's the NFL and they're up by, you know, that 10 to 12, they're not looking to cover. They're just looking to win the game at that point.
Of course, because chunks of time, and God, Belichick's the master of this. I wasn't going to do this, but Thursday night is a stinker. Let's do it.
It is. Falcons have -3. Easy. The Panthers suck.
Well, are they going to start Baker?
Who cares? Baker scored garbage time touchdowns last week. They don't have a quarterback.
Every time I take the Atlanta Falcons or I pick against them, you know exactly what happens to me.
No way.
Not doing it, Andy.
Then take the over.
Which that means I'm absolutely going to take the Falcons. I'm done. The Atlanta Falcons, our relationship is over. The bad relationship is over. Give me the Falcons -3. Fuck it. I don't care.
Carolinas, they're awful.
All right, Andy.
Joe Mixon's officially their dead.
Okay. Andy, we're back in London, I believe. 9:30 game. Seattle Seahawks, 2.5. In this, against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, coming off of vintage, Tom Brady's 69th come from behind victory. 69. He's done it 69 times.
It was against the Rams, though. The Rams aren't the Rams.
2.5, Andy. Which Seahawks show up?
I like Seattle. Seattle's on a 4-game win streak. They've beat the Cardinals twice. I know the Chargers ain't that good, the Giants, but I think Geno Smith is starting to get his groove. a little bit out there. He's having a really good year. I like the points in Seattle.
Okay. Sunday night. This is a tricky one because it's a battle of what team shows up. Los Angeles Chargers hanging around there, Andy, 5-3. They're getting 7 points. 49ers 4-4.
Yeah.
This might be one.
49ers coming off a bye week.
Uh-huh.
After stomping the Rams, who, again, I just said aren't good. This is... Oh, God. This is a rough one. They got McCaffrey. I'll take the 49ers and the -7.
Yeah, I just have this weird feeling that if I somehow take the Chargers, they just get stomped.
Yeah, so I think LA, the Chargers, when they play against a good defense, it's troubling for them.
I hope I'm just awake for this game because I'm going to be at the Hard Rock Casino with Omar and Belcher. How's that going to go?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
It'll be a rough one.
All right. Oh, man. 7 points is a lot. I'll ride with the 49ers.
I think by the time, if it goes to 7-5 by game time, I think then you take the Chargers. I like that half point.
Yeah, you can actually, I just saw here, you can click on this little down arrow next to their name.
Yeah, you can buy the point.
Which isn't smart. They always said, if you like the team, I can't believe the stat is still true. If you like the team against the spread, the favorite, just to take the points. If you like the dog, to take the money line bet, and it's still at an 80% clip in the NFL, which I just don't understand. I can't wrap my head around that. That's the way it goes. I just can't. I can't wrap my head around it, but whatever. Monday night. The Eagles are favored by 11 at home versus the Washington Commanders. So again, this is a huge point spread. I've gotten burnt on so many of these this year.
Yeah. Ugh. It's a weird one. It's in a very weird range. I think the Eagles win by 12. I think it's going to be a weird outcome. This field goal or something. Just the Commanders don't score. The Eagles defense has been pretty solid.
And you know, I don't want to write them. I really don't want to write them off because they're in last place in the NFC East. They're 0-2 in the division. They really need to get a win. However, if they somehow are the first team to knock off the Eagles, the Commanders at 5-5 are they're in the playoff picture. Believe it or not, all four teams in the NFC East have a chance to make the playoffs.
Is this a trap? I mean, looking at the Commanders' last five, if they lost by 3, 1-1, 1-2, 1-5, lost by 4.
Right. They're ninth. So they're ninth place right now, Andy.
So looking at, I mean. Their only big loss. I mean, Philly, they got killed by Philly at home. 24-8. That's when Wentz was at QB.
Right.
Ooh. Maybe you just take Philly. Just take Philly.
Kick your feet up and see what happens. Eagles -11. All right. I got nothing else to say about the NFL except James Draws on TikTok. If you are watching a primetime game or you are watching your favorite team play on Sunday and they're supposed to win, don't go on TikTok.
Don't. I was early on the James Draws train. Very early. I remember sending it to a lot of people like, what is this? Goats. You don't want to be on this. I think his most famous one for me was when USC lost.
Oh.
USC. What?
Oh. I know you broke up a little bit there, but dude, Andy, he's selling merch now, and it's not that bad of prices. This crew neck sweatshirt, okay? It says, "What happened, with like a couple question marks and exclamation points." And then it has his TikTok and Instagram. James draws a couple numbers. It's red. $30.
It's not bad. I don't know if I buy any merch. I can't.
The winter hat's $22. T-shirt's $22. But he's got a website. Seems like a good kid. That the high school games, he's been following them in the playoffs, and he yells out the other high school and says, "What happened?"
Did you hear that his mom didn't even know who's TikTok famous?
Stop it.
Yeah. So it was either his like mom or his aunt. It was some very close family member. And after high school, they were like, "What are you going to do?" He's like, "I'm going to be a famous TikToker. I'm going to be famous on TikTok." And they were just kind of like, "Oh, yeah, whatever. You and everyone else. You and everyone else." And another family member was around, and they're like, "So James, what do you do?" And he's like, "I'm famous on TikTok." And they're like, "Ha ha." And the cousin was like, "No, like, you don't understand." And they pulled up all of his videos, and they were like, "We can't believe this happened."
So
they had no idea.
For those of you that don't understand what TikTok famous means, Andy, he's at. From just roasting teams, that he's just asking what happened when they lose. This number is unbelievable. 619,000 followers. That makes him bigger than anyone in TV and on social media in Cleveland. Everybody, there's nobody that's bigger than a lot of the Guardians. It's bigger than a lot of the Cavs. 14 million. 14 million likes on TikTok. That's just, and I'm scrolling down here, 674,000 views, 2 million views, 1.1 million views, 1.3 million views. The one with the high school, Andy, 3.1 million views.
I mean, he's absolutely made it. So I actually figured out why the USC one is his best one. And you've seen that one, right?
Yes. It's so good. So, I'm trying to pull it up right now.
It's his most animated one, I'll say. And I read more into him. He's an Oklahoma Sooners fan.
Oh, okay.
And since Lincoln Riley kind of screwed them over and lost that game.
Oh, jeez.
You know, by going to USC, that's why there was so much emotion tied into it, which makes it a lot funnier.
Oh my!
Because like there's some where he's like kind of quiet. And he's like, "What happened?" But thankfully, he spared the Miami Hurricanes this weekend.
Right.
After getting absolutely blasted by Florida State, and the Browns have not shown up on there.
Unbelievable.
As a victim.
He did the Bengal. He did do the Bengals the one time. I mean, he loves it. He loves sports so much.
Oh yeah, he's a huge sports fan. But it's
here you
it's
go.
Funny if you aren't.
USC, what happened? How is your new dog? You're not gonna play off this year.
Dude, it's so good.
And you gotta go to the end. The end is the best. Like the last 5 seconds.
Oh my god. Alright, that's enough on James Draws. He's been fun. Big fan. Daylight Savings, not a fan. Tired of it. I guess this is the last year. I thought this was one of the things Donald Trump said he was getting rid of. We've talked about it on the podcast. This sucks. I know we're gonna complain about it all week. 5 o'clock, 4:45, it's getting dark out. It's so dumb. I don't want, and I am, don't give me the farmer thing. The farmer thing is so dumb that the farmers need more daylight in the morning or something. No, dumb. I'm tired of it. It's depressing.
I don't mind it.
Why, Andy? Are you that cold?
No, I just like being at work when it's dark. I
I'm crossing that off.
don't
Madison
know.
Square Gardens, UFC 281. Andy, I haven't got to do this in a while. UFC 281, Israel Adesanya and Pereira. I love the way I gave him a hard time a little bit ago that Brian Nagel says Alex Pereira's name. What a card. And I'm sorry, Andy, that you're working, but there's so many names. If I ran through here on the prelims, Ryan Spann, Dominic Reyes. What happened to Dominic Reyes? We haven't heard from him in a while. Molly McCann comes in as a big dog at flyweights at +310 against Aaron Blanchfield. Andre Petroski. I mean, this is early prelims. I mean, Carolina is on here. What a card.
Yeah, a pretty solid card. Big Matt Frivola fan. You know, he's going up against an undefeated opponent. But when you see that they're both -110, which the odds makers have that at even fight, and it's a rare that you see that, -110 in the UFC. So anytime you see that, circle that on the undercard and watch that fight. Absolutely tune in for that one. Molly McCann coming off a good win. She had a knockout her last win, correct?
Correct.
And she's +310. And over training camps.
This is a big opponent. I think she's been largely, I'd say untested, and now she's ranked and 15 versus 12. See where she's at in the flyweights.
I think Reyes has just been one of those victims of a vicious knockout. And, some guys don't come back from that.
Right.
You look at a guy like Chris Weidman. He
Never was
had
the
a couple
same.
bad knockouts, never the same. And I think that might be what we're seeing with Reyes. I know he's -230, but think about the knockouts, and Ryan Spann can come in and get aggressive early in the fight and maybe steal a victory, pretty quick on that +190.
Andy, you had another Dan Hooker. 33 professional fights. The dude just fights really, really, really good guys. He's facing Claudio, lightweight, evenly matched there at -155, +135, kicking off the main card. I think this is it for Frankie Edgar, right? I think this is a
Yeah, I think
retirement
this is the
fight.
last fight, but you skipped over a good one that I
I'm
like
sorry.
too, and I think it's a lot closer than the card looks at, is Brad Riddell and Renato Boicano.
I'm seeing +105 for Brad, and Renato is -125.
Yeah, and that's a tough one. Like, you take Riddell, you're getting pretty much a little bit, a dollar over even money at
Right.
one unit. And Moicano, it's like, hey, he's -125, but Riddell could still steal the fight. A young fighter still with only 13 fights. So that's like your main event on the prelim, which I think it's going to be a phenomenal fight to kick off the pay-per-view.
Right, and they're both coming off of a loss, both hungry as hell for a win. Renato kind of towers over him just a little bit. I love that fight so much. But yeah, I'm
Yeah,
sorry I skipped
again,
over
like
that.
disappointed. Disappointed I won't be able to watch that one. Maybe I'll just turn my phone off and watch it when I'm done working. Some point Sunday.
The last three fights here, Andy, obviously besides Adesanya and Pereira, any of these fights are really a headliner fight, and I just cannot believe that. I mean, I can believe it because it's MSG, Madison Square Garden. I am so excited for Dustin Poirier and Michael Chandler. Chandler is he fights like a reckless abandon at times, and it's gotten him in a lot of trouble. He is an ultimate fighter. He was one of the biggest names in Bellator, and then coming over to the UFC, he loves it. A lot of value here, taking him +150 against the former champ Dustin Poirier. But this Dustin Poirier, losing Oliveira, losing his belt to Oliveira. Both these guys want a shot at Islam, bad, really bad. You gotta win here to get Islam.
Yeah. So I think the value's on Chandler. I'm a huge Diamond fan, but his loss to Oliveira was pretty bad. And then you look at his last two wins, and it's Conor McGregor, a guy that's non-existent, a guy that hasn't stepped in the octagon since July 10th of 2021.
Right. And
Prior to
that
that,
McGregor wasn't the same McGregor.
No.
It's
And then
funny, we don't
before
even
that,
really
it's
we really
Dan
don't even
Hooker.
yeah, we really don't even talk McGregor on the podcast at all, which is that's depressing.
Oh, but Chandler, his win against Ferguson was nasty. Fought well against Gaethje,
Ugh, that fight was
unfortunately knocked
amazing.
out by Oliveira.
Right.
But I didn't see that he what knocked out Ferguson with the kick to the jaw, like an
Yeah.
up kick to the jaw.
Yep. Then all the backflips.
So I don't know. I think you take the value in Chandler. As
It's
much
three
as I want
rounds.
Poirier to win,
It's three rounds,
it's
Andy. Remember.
yeah. I think the money's there with Chandler. Like B plus 190.
I'm scared to gamble on this one because I want to take Chandler so bad and I love Diamond. I might sit it out. I might take the under and just cheer for them to bang because you know it's coming. Not too excited about this women's strawweight bout. Carla Esparza, I think she's still coming off the win against Rose Namajunas, which was just an absolute stinker. Absolute stink fest. Zhang Weili, former champion. I think she's coming back for that belt. I think she's going to get this belt, and I think it could be hers for a while, unless Rose comes back. I don't know. I don't really like this
I'm not
fight.
sure.
She's so heavily favored. I think it's an easy pick. I almost picked the under in
Yeah.
five rounds. And grand, the under's probably going to be. I mean, I don't want to bullshit you. Sorry, Anton. I don't want to bullshit you right now, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's 2.5. I'm looking right now. You can give me your thoughts. And it's actually 4.5, by the way. Jesus.
Yeah, I think the values are in the under. With the Sparza, going the distance with Thug Rose.
Was a dumb fight.
Oh boy.
They didn't do anything.
No, they didn't. But Weili, the TKO of Joanna, a split with Thug Rose, and I would say probably one of the best knockouts ever by Thug Rose. Take the loss there. But I think, oh man, the value's there with Weili. I think people thought she was unbeatable. There is no value really with Weili. They're onto something, but the value's there with you. What you said, under 4.5.
I think that's what I'm going to do. All
And then main
right.
event time.
Let's wrap this up here, Andy, with this fight. And I've said it before and it's really screwed me. This fight has a lot behind it and is going to be very, very, very exciting. Five rounds for the middleweight championship. It's been Israel's division forever. He's turned into a calculated champion, which turns to some boring fights. He's about the entertainment value because he's been so calculated and been able to point people and get easy wins. I think that this is coming towards the end of the line, doing it with someone like Alex Paea, who Israel left kickboxing because of Perea. Make no mistake. I'm going to repeat that for the casuals at home. Israel Adesanya left kickboxing because of two devastating losses to Alex Paea. Alex Paea, if you watch UFC Embedded, very, very poor upbringing in a very, very bad area of Brazil. At the age of 12, got involved with fighting and a massive drinking problem. Found mixed martial arts at a very young age in kickboxing and became one of the best kickboxers in the world. And him and Izzy went at it in a very young age. Two of the best kickboxers in the world. Izzy leaves. Guess who follows behind him in a few years? This man, Alex Pereira, who's burst onto the scene in the UFC and just is on an absolute tear. And I don't want to talk right now for the next minute or so, Andy, about either of these two fighters. I want to talk behind the mentality of, I've beat this guy twice. Granted, it's a different style of fighting. Andy, what is going through the back of Izzy's head right now? There has to be, and you can't do this in the UFC. You cannot have any doubt. But this man has canvassed you more than once. You know that there's got to be a hint of fear. Izzy doesn't show it. He's never going to show it. But Pereira is a killer.
Yeah. I think the tactic is to be, it's going to be to point him, and it's going to be to run. And it's going to, if Adesanya ends up winning the fight, it's going to be an extremely boring fight. I think this is going to be one of those cards where you get fireworks with Chandler and Poirier, and then the women's fight, you get fireworks, and then you're like, man, I can't wait for this main event.
And that's a stink fest. I don't want that. Don't do that to me. Who was it that...
I think that's...
What was it? Izzy and... we said the same thing about Izzy versus Yoel Romero. Oh, my God, was that terrible. Because we thought that... Yoel had a chance to knock him out in the first round, and he stood there.
Yeah. So I think what Adesanya is going to do is keep his distance, and it's just going to make for such a boring fight where he runs, he runs, he runs. Now, if Alex can get in, close a distance, and catch him, chase him down, but you can't waste your energy doing that, especially in a five-round fight.
Right. Looking over at Andy, obviously this is his first five-round fight. Only one fight in his career went the distance. Bruno Silva, unanimous decision. His knockout of Sean Strickland was very, very, very impressive. And I hate to say it because I think Sean Strickland's such a good guy, but looks like some personality changes since that fight, which is very, very sad. He's doing something weird with the, I don't know if you saw the video with him and the gun in the shower. Like, that knockout was life-changing.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, but
it just goes to show the people that think they can fight and do this stuff, I don't think they really realize how dangerous all these fighters are. So Andy, your pick on that fight, don't tell me you're just picking Adesanya because in a boring win. It's -165. If you think that he's gonna point him, there is some value to, I mean, 165 is rich, but it's not, you know, that UFC fighter greater than 200 that you want to put three units on. And you did that. You found some success in it, but what do you think here?
No, I don't. It's
almost that a unit and a half gets you a win. Or a unit and a half here almost gets you a unit.
Oh, yeah, you need two units to get a unit at -190.
And actually, here on the book, Andy, I'm seeing -205. And on UFC.com, they're saying 165, which I don't know where they're getting that. 205 is too rich, Andy. I think 165 is the play for Pierre.
Yeah, I think it's time for a new champion in middleweight. Adesanya hasn't been the guy that puts on a show anymore. Like he went five rounds with Jared Cannonier. Boring.
Right.
Whitaker at the time, the five-round fight, again, boring. Vittori, he pieced him up, unanimous decision. His last knockout coming 2 years ago. So I think I'm on the other side. I take the plus money. let's see a new champion and someone with significant knockout power. That you know, at age 35, around the same time Stipe won it,
yep,
be a dangerous man in the middleweight division.
Let me add to people at home: if you're a casual fan and you want to get into UFC more, other than, you know, just the pay per views, the one thing I'll say about the pay per view week, you will learn like everything there is to know about these fighters watching UFC Embedded. I look forward to it. They have like 5 quick episodes that come out on Hulu. I'm not sure where else they show them. I think they may be on the ESPN Plus app as well. Great content, and what the fighters go through leading up to fight week. That show is amazing. I watch it every time I got finished up before this weekend. Andy, I'm heading to Miami. I got nothing else to add. You got anything?
No, I got nothing else.
55-minute episode. All right, I guess taking it from here, Scotty.
Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.